Scooter sat nervously on his horse, half a length behind his father's, while Lige quietly studied the town that lay before them. He had seen Lige count his money last night and frown.
Can't tell from here if this place is big enough to have a bank. Yeah, the only way to know is to ride in and see.
How many times we gotta do this, Pa?
You're shaking, boy. Ain't nothing to be scared of. Your old daddy knows what he's doing.
So do the Rangers. How you know there ain't a bunch of them waiting for us?
I can tell you ain't cut out for this business. That's why we need to travel on up to the territory and get us that farm as soon as we can. But we gotta have money first, don't you see?
Most people don't get it this way.
Everybody's gotta find out what he's good at. I'm good at the banking business. Now come on, let's see what this place has to offer.
They rode down the length of the short street. Lige slumped in disappointment.
This burg ain't big enough to support a bank. I'd settle for a good general store, but the only one I see don't look very prosperous.
They turned and rode back up the street the way they'd come. Lige's attention was fixed on the general store. It was a square-fronted frame building, innocent of paint. Farming tools and wooden barrels were displayed on the plank sidewalk against the wall. A sign in the window advertised chewing tobacco and prickly bitters.
I wonder what day it is. Used to be that Saturday was when all the farmers came to town. A good general store would have a lot of cash on hand.
I think it's Wednesday, Pa. Or Tuesday?
We can't wait around for Saturday. When you can't have all you want, you settle for what you can get.
After dismounting in front of the store, he stretched his arms and back. Then he handed over his reins to Scooter, who took them reluctantly.
Hold him. I go see the business. Stay awake. Because when I come out, I'll be looking to travel.
I'll be right here.
You're a good boy. You got the makings of a good man.
A large man with a black mustache and a dark expression blocked Lige's entry into the store. He held up a hand that looked as big as a hind quarter of beef. The other hand rested upon the butt of a pistol high on his hip.
Just a minute, stranger. I need to know your name.
Scooter saw a small silver badge on the man's vest. A chill went all the way to his toes.
My name? What for?
I'm a deputy sheriff. We got a wire telling us to look out for a man and a boy that robbed a bank out west someplace. You've got a boy with you.
My son? What do you mean? You got a wire?
Ain't you heard about the telegraph?
Oh, I've heard tale, but I never knew it'd come to a little place like this.
You're getting it just about everywhere. There ain't a horse alive that can outrun it. Now, what's your name and what you doing here?
My name's Simon Good. That's my boy Willie. We're just poor farmers passing through on our way to help my baby sister over in Colorado County. Her husband is laid up with a broken leg and can't work his field.
You got any papers to prove you're who you say you are?
What would I carry papers for? Ain't got but little money either. If we'd robbed a bank, don't you think we'd be carrying a lot of money? You could search us. If you find more than $20, you could keep it.
The deputy had developed a deep and doubting frown. He approached Scooter.
Is that right, kid? Is your name Willie Good?
Scooter could not bring himself to speak. He could only nod.
Is the boy slow-minded that he can't talk?
He's hardly ever got off of the farm. Ain't used to town. It's natural that he'd get a little scared when a sheriff starts asking him questions. It never happened to him before.
Didn't mean to upset you, son. Just doing my duty is all. You and your daddy here have got honest faces. It's plain to see that you ain't the bank robbers they're looking for. Besides, their name is Tennyson, not Good.
What would bank robbers come into a little town like this for?
Bad enough. We ain't even got a bank.
This town probably starve a banker to death. All right, if we go on about our business?
As long as it ain't bank robbery.
The deputy grinned at his own joke. No one else did. The lawman walked on, ambling toward an ugly stone courthouse that stood two stories tall at the end of the street. It had a cupola with a clock that either was not running or was off by several hours. It was a poor town, Scooter thought, that couldn't afford to fix a clock. Lige watched the deputy.
Damn, they already know my name. Makes me want to cut down every telegraph line I come across.
Maybe we ought to forget that road stake and go straight to the Cherokee Nation.
We can't go there broke.
Lige considered for a moment before going into the store. To Scooter's surprise, he was not in a hurry when he came out. Lige bit a chaw from a plug of tobacco he'd just bought.
You didn't do any business?
One look and I could tell there wouldn't be enough money in the till to make it worth the risk. We'd have that deputy on our tail before we could clear town. Probably the sheriff, too. No telling how many town folk. We'll have to give up the luxuries and get by on what we got till we get to where they're having that feud. Well, our luck will change there. You just wait.
I'm a Jonah to you, Pa.
How you figure that?
You heard him. They're looking for a man and a boy traveling together. If you was by yourself, they wouldn't look at you twice. The next place we come to, they might not be as easy to fool as that deputy was.
We ain't splitting up, if that's what you're getting at. We already been apart way too long. Anyhow, where would you go?
Back to the ranger camp. They're good to me there.
They wouldn't be good to you no more. They know you was with me in Kerrville. Like as not, they'd send you one of them reformatories and keep you there till you're old enough to shave. I've heard stories. They'd feed you bread and water and put the whip to you every day. We'll go around the towns from now on till we get to where we're going. Me and you are sticking together. Father and son. Like it was before I went off to work for the governor.
One of the Brackett's field hands sighted the two rangers approach and went running to the main house ahead of them. His frantic manner said he was on his way to give warning. Rusty frowned.
He acts like he's afraid of something.
Probably didn't recognize us. Maybe Farley has threatened to peel the hide off of him if he lets somebody come without letting him know.
That sounds like Farley.
Bethel stood on the porch, arms folded in an attitude of defiance, until she recognized Andy and Rusty. She hurried down to meet them, her eyes anxious.
Oh, Lord, I've prayed for you all to come.
Trouble?
2 days ago, a deputy sheriff showed up looking for Flora Landon.
Well, did he find her?
Yes. He dragged her away, him and 5 others. He took Farley, too. Wouldn't listen to us trying to tell him he was still too hurt to ride.
Andy scowled at the large bruise darkening Bethel's cheekbone.
Who did that to you?
The deputy. When I tried to hold on to Farley. He was a big fellow. Pushed Mother off the porch, too. She stove up so badly she can barely walk.
That'd be big and hopper. What about the old man, Flora's daddy?
He was out in the field. They missed him. He slipped away as soon as the posse was gone. Probably went to tell Jace Landon.
Andy dismounted for a closer look at Bethel. He touched her cheek. She reached up and pressed her hand against his.
Are you sure you're all right? Nothing worse than that bruise?
Nothing that won't heal. Except I'm still mad enough to chop that big deputy into little chunks and feed him to the hogs. I'm worried about what they might be doing to my brother. They accused him of helping with a jailbreak.
Biggin has accused me too, but he's a liar. He knows me and Farley had nothing to do with that.
Just the same, I'm afraid. They treated Farley rough. They knew he was wounded, but they didn't care. That deputy seemed to take pleasure in hurting him.
What are we gonna do about it, Rusty?
By rights, that's a decision the captain ought to make. Or at least the sergeant.
Well, they're not here. So what would you do if you had to make the decision?
The Rangers have always taken care of their own.
The longer we wait, the more time they've got to torment Farley and Flora Landon.
Don't forget that the law over there would like to jail you, too.
Well, just let Biggin try. He'll see hell from the bottom side. Bethel, you send one of your men to town. Let the sergeant know what we're up to.
All right. Do you know how you're going to handle this?
Like Rangers always handle things. Straight ahead on.
As Rusty and Andy rode back into Hopper's Crossing, Andy drew his pistol and pointed down the street toward the courthouse.
The jail is on the other side. Hard to see it from here.
I'd leave that thing in the holster was I you. It's always better to try and talk your way through. There's time enough later to shoot your way out.
Andy holstered the weapon, but only after inserting a cartridge in the chamber he customarily left empty for safety.
Remember, we're here on our own. We don't have authorization from the captain or even Sergeant Holloway.
Any reason we have to tell anybody that?
Not at all. Might even lie a little if it helps.
Andy couldn't see that they were attracting any particular attention as they rode down the hoof-scuffed street, stirring a little dust with their passage. The few people they encountered had no reason to know they were rangers. Neither wore a badge, for the state had not yet adopted an official design. Some rangers fashioned their own, most often from Mexican silver pesos. Neither Andy nor Rusty had chosen to do so. Silver was hard to come by. The stable keeper stood outside the big doors of the livery barn. Recognition made his jaw sag. He started to raise his hand in greeting, but withdrew the gesture before it was completed.
Friend of yours?
He was some help to me and Farley, but nobody saw it except us. I suspect he'd duck in his hole like a prairie dog if things started to pop around him.
I noticed a lot of the store signs have got the name Hopper on them. I haven't seen one that said Landon.
Well, there's considerable more Hoppers than Landons. That's why the Hoppers have control of the county. Dick Landon was right to join the Rangers to get away from here. If I was a Landon, I'd leave too.
Andy tensed as the jail came into view.
How about we barge in there like we had the whole Ranger force behind us, catch them standing on their left foot?
You've been here before, and you know the layout. You do the talking, and I'll follow your lead.
The two men reined up in front of the jail and dismounted, tying their horses to the porch post. Andy did not knock on the jail door. Finding it unlocked, he pushed it open and stepped inside. Sheriff Truscott sat at a desk. Startled, he dropped papers he'd been reading and jumped to his feet. Andy strode in, stopping so close that he could have reached across the desk and grabbed the sheriff by his shirt. Truscott was not wearing his pistol. It and its belt and holster lay at the edge of the desk. He made no move to reach them.
You don't need that gun. We're Rangers and we're here on official business.
I know you. You and your partner Brackett was the ones helped my prisoner get loose.
We had nothing to do with that. I think you know it. Now, you've got Farley Brackett locked up here on false charges. This is Rusty Shannon. Him and me, we've come to get Farley.
Well, that's easy, Sid.
Either we leave here with him, or you'll have the state adjutant general and his headquarters rangers down here. You'll feel like you've been trumped by a buffalo herd.
Everybody and his damn dog has been trying to tell me what to do lately.
What do you say, Sheriff? Do you turn him loose, or do we go in and take him?
Big and Hopper walked in from the back room where the cells were.
What the hell's going on out here, Sheriff?
These men are Rangers.
I know them. That young one, anyway. I can spot a Ranger a half a mile away. Further, sometimes.
They come for Brackett.
You better not let them have him. Uncle Judd would bellow like a bull.
Maybe your Uncle Judd would like to come talk to these Rangers. They claim to have the state law behind them.
Us Hoppers are the law here.
Here, maybe, but nowheres else. You want Austin sending a force down here to poke around? Me and you and your Uncle Judd would likely wind up in the penitentiary, and some of your other kin besides.
I say we ought to secede from the state of Texas like Texas done from the Union.
Biggin, I wish you was twice as smart and half as loud.
You remember what happened to that other secession. Texas lost.
I don't see but two of you.
We're Rangers. Two is enough.
I guess we can give up the Ranger. We still got Jace's woman.
And giving her three meals a day at county expense. You know what I favor giving her.
He turned into the light. Andy noticed a ragged cut and discoloration around his right eye.
I told you to stay out of her cell. She gave you just what you had coming.
Yeah. But I'd have given her something, too, if you hadn't come in there raising hell. I'd have showed her again why they call me Biggin.
Truscott's eyes betrayed concern as he glanced at Andy and Rusty.
Damn you, Biggin, keep talking and some folks in this town will peel your hide with a horsewhip. Don't matter if you are a Hopper.
Andy had an ugly mental image of Biggin forcing himself on Flora Landon, or trying to. He fought down his anger.
Now, what about Farley Brackett?
Go on. Tattle to Uncle Judd, but I don't care to have Texas Rangers on my neck. I'm giving them Brackett.
You better hold on to that woman. Now, we ain't done with her.
Don't you be trying to tell me what to do, even if you are the judge's pet nephew. Yes, we'll keep her for now. I'm spreading the word that I'm willing to trade. If Jace Landon will come and surrender himself, I'll let his wife go.
You wouldn't do that.
Damn right I'd do it. We ain't all lost our sense of decency.
You are a poor excuse for a Hopper.
I ain't a Hopper at all. I made the mistake of marrying one, but my name is still Truscott, and I'm still the sheriff of this county.
We'll fix that come next election.
Looks like you need to move to some county where there ain't any Hoppers.
I thought about it. A lot. Come on back.
A set of keys lay on top of the desk. Biggin grabbed them to keep them from Truscott.
If I was running this office, a lot of things would be different.
You ain't, no matter how many times you kiss Uncle Judd's ass.
Truscott jerked the keys from Biggin's hand. He walked into the back room and unlocked the door to one cell.
Brackett, you got company.
A blanket hung in front of one cell. Andy realized it was a concession to Flora Landon's privacy. The builders of the jail had not considered female prisoners.
Oscar Truscott, if you let Biggin in this cell again, I swear I'll kill him, even if you hang me for it.
I told you I'm sorry, Flora. If he ever tries it again, I'm liable to kill him myself.
A man who would abuse a helpless woman ought to be shot. or at least tarred, feathered, and run out of the county on a rail.
Whatever else you might say about Flora, Ranger Pickett, you can't call her helpless. She fights like a cornered wildcat.
Biggin ought to be in jail instead of helping run it. I don't see how you can keep him as a deputy.
Well, the judge don't give me no choice. I have to try to keep peace in the family. Most of the hoppers think Flora deserves anything that happens to her. I thought about shucking the whole business and leaving here for good.
I'd be willing to pay for your train ticket.
Farley stood hunched, one hand gripping a bar to steady himself. He seemed not to see well.
Who's that out yonder? If it's Biggin, come to beat on me again.
It's a couple of rangers fixing to take you out of jail. And out of the county, I hope.
Badger boy, you took your sweet time getting here.
Farley's face was bruised and skinned, one eye swollen almost shut. Andy turned angrily on the sheriff.
How could you let somebody do that to him?
Like I said, I don't call all the shots. I can't be here all the time.
You don't try any too hard. When that good woman was hollering her head off, you was awful slow in coming.
She took pretty good care of herself.
If she'd been a weaker woman, Biggin would have got what he went in there for.
Truscott unlocked Farley's cell and pulled the iron door open.
Oh, come on out. You're leaving.
Farley was unsteady, but waved off Andy's instinctive move to help him.
They ain't managed to cripple me yet.
He held one hand to his ribs, where he'd taken the bullet.
Truscott, have you had a doctor come and look at him?
Once, when we first got him here. He gave old Doc such a cussing that he won't come back.
Damn quack done me more harm than good. Like to have killed me, poking with his fingers. And Biggin come and try to finish the job.
In the outer office, Biggin watched darkly as the sheriff took Farley's belongings from a desk drawer. They amounted to little. A pocket knife, a few coins, a leather wallet. Farley looked in the wallet and scowled.
Empty.
There's people in and out of here all the time. I can't watch everybody.
Andy, Rusty, Oscar stays out of the office right smart, like he don't want to know everything that's going on. And what does go on around here would gag a buzzard.
Farley gave Biggin a blistering look, and the man glowered at him.
It's up to me you'd stay in yonder and rot.
I had a six shooter. I ain't leaving this place without it.
Reluctantly, Truscott opened another drawer and withdrew a pistol, belt, and holster.
It's empty. Leave it that way as long as you're in this county.
Farley strapped the belt around his waist. He checked the pistol and found it empty of cartridges, as the sheriff had said. He took a step toward Biggin.
If this was loaded, I'd shoot you right now.
You might try once.
Even unloaded, it's heavy enough to make a hell of a weapon. If I wasn't inclined to be peaceful, I'd hit you upside the head with it. Like this.
He swung the pistol so quickly that Biggin had no time to dodge. The heavy barrel struck just behind the deputy's temple, and Biggin went to his knees.
It's a good thing I'm of a forgiving nature. If I wasn't, I'd hit you again. Like this!
The blow knocked Biggin to the floor. Farley gave the sheriff a challenging look.
Any charges?
Truscott made a poor effort to hide a smile and shook his head.
I reckon not, but get out of here before he comes around.
Andy and Rusty hustled Farley outside.
If you'd hit him one more time, you'd probably be up for murder.
He deserved it. What a roasting he's got coming when the devil gets a hold of him. And the sooner the better.
Do you think you're strong enough to ride?
I'm strong enough, but I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying right here till I see that poor woman set loose.
That poor woman sounded pretty strong to me.
Not strong enough to keep beating off the likes of Biggin. She took him by surprise the first time. Next time won't be as easy.
I heard the sheriff tell him not to try it again.
Oscar and Biggin hate each other's guts, but Oscar ain't gonna stay and face him in a showdown. He'd leave town before he'd stand up to Judge Hopper and the rest of his kinfolks.
Uncle Jed must be a ring-tailed panther.
He came into the jail once and looked me over like I was beef being dragged to the slaughter. I can see why folks are scared of him, even Biggin.
But they're kin.
Biggin's got plenty to be scared of besides Judge Hopper. When the Landons hear what he tried to do to Flora, he'll be lucky to see another sunrise. I'm staying here to make sure the word gets out.
The Rangers aren't supposed to get tangled up in personal feuds unless there's a killing.
There'll be a killing, Rusty. It'll be Biggin's.
They took their horses to the livery barn. The hostler seemed hesitant at first to accept them, but softened when Rusty offered him money.
Having you all in my wagon yard's like standing in a storm with a lightning rod in my hand. Mr. Brackett, I figured if you ever came out of that jail, it'd be feet first. Biggin was bragging that he'd see to it.
Biggin ain't seeing anything real clear right now.
The Landons would give you a medal if you was to put Biggin's lamp out. Even a hop or two might chip in.
Well, I didn't put his lamp out. I just turned a wick down a ways.
That'll tickle a lot of people who ain't even kin to the Landons. It ain't fair to put all the blame on Biggin, though. Jay shot his brother Ned. You wouldn't believe it, looking at Biggin now, but as a youngin', he was the runt of the litter. Other boys picked on him all the time. It's no wonder he got mean. Once he started coming into his growth, he got over being a runt, but he never got over being mean.
I suppose he paid back the boys that had picked on him?
He's still doing it. One of them was Oscar Truscott.
Farley gave the hostler a minute's speculative study.
I don't suppose you're the type that spreads gossip.
No, not me. Gossip is a sin.
If the Landons was to hear what I'm about to tell you, there's no telling what they might do. Biggin let himself into Flora's cell and tried to have his way with her. That good lady beat the snot out of him for trying, though. He's got a beauty of a shiner for his trouble, jackass.
The stableman listened with rapt interest, his eyes wide. He shook his head and pursed his lips in sympathy for the woman.
Nobody likes Biggin very much, not even some of his kin. This'd sure rip his britches if it was to get out.
I'm telling you in strict confidence.
Oh, he'll walk on no further.
The stableman led the horses away to let them loose in a corral. Farley made a grim smile.
By sundown, the story will be all over town and halfway across the county.
It's like you painted a target on Biggin.
Right between his eyes.
Lige Tennyson surveyed the small town from a bend in the road a quarter mile away. He looked as if he had ordered whiskey and been given milk.
Disappointed. I thought Hopper's Crossing would be a lot bigger than this.
Don't look like enough of a place for people to fight a feud over.
They ain't fighting it over just the town. Once there's been blood spilled, a feud don't have to be over anything else in particular. Just blood. Other reasons don't count anymore.
You think they'll really pay you to fight for one side or the other?
It's nothing but amateurs so far. I figured somebody'd be willing to hire a professional. At least I thought so, till I saw how puny a town they got. Well, I'll ride in and look things over. Worst come to worst, I can always visit the bank, if they've got one. But there may not be $20 of real money in the whole shebang.
You want me come with you, Pa?
Nah, you shade up in them trees yonder and wait for me. The laws are still looking for a man and a boy traveling together. It's better if you stay out here where it's safe and don't cause no notice. Be a good boy, and maybe I can bring you some candy.
Lige looked back once and was pleased to see Scooter walking that paddle-footed old horse into the shade, as he'd been told. He smiled and thought how lucky he was to have such a good and obedient son. A good boy deserved a better horse. Lige had it in mind that when they left here and started up toward Indian territory, he would watch for a better mount and do a little quiet trading. It was a father's duty to provide for his son. Nobody was apt to think enough of one horse to trail them all the way to Red River and beyond. The town was as inconsequential close up as it had appeared from a distance. The residential area consisted of no more than a dozen houses, most built of rough-sawed pine lumber. The main street, actually only a wide wagon road, had a handful of business buildings, a general store, a cotton gin, a blacksmith shop, a church, and a livery barn with several log corrals behind it. He noticed right away that there was no bank. Scooter had been right. It was not worth fighting over. He stopped in front of the general store and tied his horse to a hitching rail strung between two posts, its rawhide strips almost rotted through. A mongrel dog, lying in the shade of the storefront, made a half-hearted effort to get up and move out of the way, then settled back down. Lige had to step over him. A couple of elderly loafers sat on a bench watching him with a curiosity that told him the town didn't have so many visitors that they went unnoticed.
Not too busy around here today. I thought Hopper's Crossing would be a livelier place.
An elderly man with a long gray beard and a cane shrugged.
Hopper's Crossing is, but this is Landon's Flat. Hopper's Crossing is about 6 miles further up the road.
Oh, by mistake. I didn't know this place was here.
Neither do many other people. That's the trouble. Now, if we'd won that fight over the courthouse...
The other man looked as if he'd just bitten down on a sour persimmon.
Yeah, spilt milk, Homer. No use hashing over something that happened a long time ago.
There's plenty others still hashing it over. That's what the feud is supposed to be about, even if most folks have forgot.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, been 40 years. There was an election to decide which place was going to be the county seat. See that big empty lot over yonder? That was going to be our courthouse square. But them crooks over in Hopper's Crossing voted more than once and throwed in their horses and dogs. Stole the courthouse from us, is what they did. Us Landons put up a squawk and the shooting started. Well, there's more of them Hoppers than there is of us, and they own most of the money.
Maybe what y'all need is a real gunfighter. Somebody who knows what needs doing and how to do it.
A man like that would cost a lot. Like I told you, most of the money is over in Hopper's Crossing with their names on it. Being the county seat, their town prospered, while ours, well, you can see for yourself.
If you was to want to shoot the top man of that Hopper bunch, who would it be?
If I wanted to shoot him, Judd Hopper is the head of the clan. But if it was me doing it, I think I'd shoot Biggin Hopper first. The judge runs the family, but Biggin is the one he sends out to do the dirty work. And he enjoys his job.
Where would a man find Biggin Hopper if he was of a mind to look?
He's a deputy under Sheriff Oscar Truscott. He fiddles to the judge's tune, though. He don't pay much attention to Oscar, nor anybody else besides old Judd. Come to a showdown, he might not listen to Judd either. He's built like a bull and got a head like one.
Yeah, sounds to me like he'd be the one to kill, all right.
But Lige was thinking Biggin would be the one to see about a gun-toting job. It was evident if he was to make any real money out of this situation, it would have to come from the Hoppers. Teaming up with the Landons would be like fishing in a dry hole.
Well, thank you for the news, fellas. I got some business to attend to.
Lige nodded pleasantly at the two men, who nodded back. Then he went inside the general store. He'd promised his son some candy. Scooter waited in the shade of the trees as he'd been told. Relief washed through him as he watched his pa ride up and dismount. Lige walked over and handed him the sack of candy.
Now don't eat all of that at once and make you sick to your stomach. Good things need to be stretched out so you enjoy them longer.
Thanks, Pa.
Scooter took a piece of hard candy from the sack. He held it up and stared appreciatively at it for a minute before he put it in his mouth.
I don't reckon you saw a bank?
Takes money for a place to have a bank. This wasn't the town I thought it was. We'll do better in the next one.
We going there today?
We still got some daylight ahead of us. Ain't no use wasting it. We'll have money when we get through with our business here. Them old fellas back yonder told me the Hoppers had done right good. I figure they'll be willing to fork over for getting some of the Landons out of their way.
You kill them people, Pa?
You gotta look at it from my side, son. Them people don't mean nothing to us. They're gonna kill one another anyway. I don't see nothing wrong if I push things a little. I'm betting the Hoppers would be glad to keep their hands clean by turning their dirty washing over to somebody else. Wouldn't be nothing the law could do to them, and me and you would be long gone.
Them Landons are liable to shoot back.
The bigger the risk, the bigger the gain. Even marrying an Injun woman and getting headright land will need some startup money in the territory.
You reckon you make a good farmer, Paul? Been a long time since you done much of it.
Yeah, I growed up with my hand shaped like a plow handle. It's a good life. Anyway, I figure we'll get far enough today to make camp, and then I'll go take a look-see in the town. Let's get a move on.
The next day, at Hopper's Crossing, Lige sought out the jail, completely oblivious of the irony as he did so. As the deputy sheriff walked out of the jailhouse, Lige was fairly sure he recognized Biggin Hopper as the lawman who visited the ranger camp on the San Saba. Hopper was one of the largest men Lige had ever seen. He had a bandage wrapped around his head. Lige approached him warily, for he could not be sure how seriously Hopper took his responsibilities as a lawman.
I expect you'd be Biggin Hopper.
I don't know you. Give me a reason why I ought to even talk to you.
I think I could be of service.
Well, I don't need no ditches dug nor fields plowed, and we generally got a prisoner to sweep out the jailhouse.
Them things ain't my specialty anyway. I do most of my work with this. I hear you Hoppers got enemies?
Even if we do, what business is it of yours?
I could handle them for you. That's so much per head. All you'd have to do would be to point them out. I'd lay them out. Wouldn't be nothing the law could hang on your family, because I ain't no kin to any of you.
Now that is interesting. Let's Let's go into jailhouse yonder and talk about it.
If it's all the same to you, I'd rather we went someplace else. Someplace where nobody would see or hear us.
Hopper pointed to a small frame building with peeling red paint.
Blacksmith is shoeing horses out of town. His shop's private enough if you don't mind a horse or two.
The place smelled of iron and burned coal. Lige walked through it, checking the horse stalls, then peering out the back door to be sure no one was near enough to overhear the conversation. Biggin followed him in, shut the door, and crossed his arms.
Saying, I was to agree to something. How do I know you could do the job? You don't look like no notorious gunfighter to me. I don't even know your name.
For now, just call me Bill Smith.
Smith? We've entertained a lot of your kinfolks in that jail yonder one time and another.
If I was to tell you my real name, you'd recognize it. But I don't think I ought to, seeing that badge you're wearing.
This badge ain't tattooed on my skin. I know when to look the other way. I'll give you a chance, but I don't want you seen with me or any other hoppers. I don't want folks to make any connection.
I don't care to have too many people see me anyway. I expect there's a reward out. They might get notions.
I know an old farmhouse nobody's living in. You can stay there. When I got something lined up, I'll come and talk to you.
I'll be needing some supplies for me and my boy.
Boy?
My son. He's traveling with me.
Oh, now that's an extra witness. That's a complication I hadn't figured for. Traveling with a boy. Seems to me I've seen a flyer. Timson. Wanted for bank robbery.
Tennyson. Well, at least you know a little about my reputation.
Well, I believe you'll work out perfect.
Biggin smiled like he'd been handed a royal flush. He drew some bills from his pocket.
This ought to tide you over for a week or two. Now, here's how you get out to the place.
He squatted on his heels and drew a map in the sandy floor. Hopper left the shop first. Lige waited a bit, so no casual observer was likely to realize they'd been together. He moved to the shop door, then took two fast steps backward into the shadows. Surprise quickened his pulse. He could hardly believe what he saw. The two rangers, named Rusty and Andy, and a third man who limped along, hunched over as if hurt.
Lord almighty.
He felt trapped. He had been confident he had shaken off pursuit. Now, here were these damned rangers, so close he could hit them with a rock. He retreated to the back of the shop where the shadows were darkest and watched as the three passed the front door. He barely dared breathe. For a fleeting moment, he entertained the notion of shooting them while they weren't looking. With a little luck, he might get all three before they had time to realize what was happening. But he dismissed the idea. Back shooting had never been his style. Anyway, chances were that at least one would survive long enough to put a bullet in him. What would Scooter do then? The boy would be lost if his father failed to show up. Lige gradually calmed and tried to think rationally. There was no question of staying in town to buy supplies. He had to get out of this place as quickly as he could without letting the rangers see him. Perhaps they weren't after him in the first place. Perhaps something else had brought them here, far from their camp on the San Saba. If that was the case, they wouldn't be expecting to see him. He intended to make certain they didn't. He had tied his horse behind the bank. He didn't know why he had chosen that spot, except that something in his nature always seemed to draw him to banks. He eased back to the front door so he could watch the rangers. He saw them enter the livery stable and disappear into its darkness. He went through the back door of the blacksmith shop and hurried to his horse. He left town at a slow trot to avoid attracting attention. He'd get his boy to the farmhouse Biggin told him about, then go back to Landon's flat for supplies. It was the only way to be safe. He looked over his shoulder until Hopper's Crossing was well behind him, then set his horse into a lope, heading for his son. Andy thought the doctor was going to slam the door in their faces when he saw Farley Brackett. He stood with hands pressed against the jamb on both sides, blocking the doorway. He was a little gray-bearded man with rolled-up sleeves and an apron stained by old blood specks that had never washed out. He looked as if he had just smelled a skunk.
Last time I treated that man, he cussed me like a mule skinner. If he's not dying, take him to somebody else. How did this disagreeable son of a bitch ever get to be a ranger?
His wound is trying to heal, but we don't like the color around the edges. We'd take it as a favor if you'd look at him.
Reluctantly, the doctor drew back from the door. Andy and Farley entered.
Let's get on with it.
Farley took off his shirt and shed the long underwear from his arms and shoulders. The doctor peered closely at the healing wound, then poked it with the tip of his finger.
A little angry around the edges, but it's coming along. I wouldn't worry about it.
Of course you wouldn't. It ain't yours.
Do you think he can ride?
He can, if he's willing to put up with a lot of pain and the risk of bleeding again. If it was me, I'd wait a few days before I started off on any long trip back to wherever it is you all come from.
Farley pulled up his underwear and put on his shirt. He moved gingerly, trying to minimize the pain.
What do we owe you, Doctor?
I've got a special deal for Rangers, since it's their duty to protect us, even if they have to shoot us to do it. My services are free the first time. After that, it's regular rates. A man dumb enough to get shot a second time doesn't deserve any favors from me.
Thanks. Maybe we can send you some paying customers.
You already have. The night you two knotheads faced that mob in front of an empty jailhouse.
Andy tried to help Farley down off the table, but Farley motioned irritably for him to back off.
Don't treat me like I'm crippled. I can walk out of here myself. If whoever shot me is watching, I want him to know that he didn't do but half a job.
What if he tries to finish it?
I'm hoping he does. I'd like to return the favor.
Rusty was brushing his horse when Andy and Farley entered the stable yard and headed toward him.
I'm thinking about going on back to the San Saba. The captain's probably wondering what's become of us.
The doctor says it might be better if Farley doesn't ride just yet.
He stands a good chance of getting shot again in this place. If he doesn't want to go stay with his mother and sister, he can batch at my farm till he's healed up better. I doubt that the Hoppers would want him bad enough to hunt him down over there.
I'm in no hurry to leave here. I want to see Biggin get what's coming to him.
Suit yourself, but it's time me and Andy was leaving.
If the captain complains, tell him he can fire me.
Without being a ranger, you'd have no authority to enforce the law.
The law ain't enforced much here anyway.
Late in the afternoon, the stableman came into the building and stopped to blink until his eyes adjusted to the dim light. He looked behind him before he approached the three rangers.
I ain't getting myself mixed up in y'all's troubles, but I got a message for you.
What about?
Walter Landon came to my house. Said he was speaking for his brother Jace. He heard about the sheriff's promise to let Flora Landon go if Jace would turn himself in.
Farley sat up on the edge of the metal cot he was lying on. Pain from the quick movement made him wince.
Anything to get her out of that jail and away from Biggin.
What's this got to do with us?
Well, you rangers delivered Jace here in the first place. He'd like y'all to be the ones to do it again.
He wouldn't need us to deliver him. He could just deliver himself.
He knows one or another of them Hoppers would kill him before he ever saw the inside of the jailhouse. But if you all were guarding him, they might not try.
Maybe they would, and maybe they wouldn't. If they didn't, they'd just wait till he was in jail and break in like they tried to do the last time.
At least his wife would be free. If he got killed before he went into the jail, Oscar Truscott might not feel like he had to live up to his promise about Flora.
Jay seems to have made up his mind he's going to get killed one way or another.
After all, he committed murder.
In a way, he's still our responsibility. It was Rangers who caught him and Rangers who brought him here.
He's set to hang anyway. A good, quick bullet would be better than choking at the end of a rope.
Andy turned back to the stableman, who blinked nervously at him.
How do we go about meeting up with Jace?
After dark, a couple of his kinfolk will come in the back way looking for you. Be saddled and ready. They don't want you bringing any guns.
We're not going any place without guns.
You'll have to talk that over with them, not me. I'm just delivering the message.
You and me, Rusty. Farley's not in shape to be riding anywhere.
Black hell!
He rose to his feet, but sat down again, bringing his hand up to the wound.
It's just as well. I don't want to look at Jace anyhow after what he's put his good woman through.
Can we trust these Landons?
Well, their word's good. Their only bad failing is that they like to kill Hoppers. It's brought a right smart of grief down on them.
It's our job to bring Jace in, not make deals with him. But I suppose it won't do any harm to talk.
Look now, if anybody asks, I had nothing to do with this. Wouldn't be healthy for me to get on the Hopper's bad side.
Andy and Rusty delayed saddling their horses until full dark, in case some hopper might be keeping an eye on them. They waited inside the barn's back door.
Rangers, you in there?
We're here. Who are you?
Walter Landon, but that don't matter. You ready for a ride?
We've been waiting for you.
Rusty opened the back door and led his horse out. Andy followed. He saw two men, though in the darkness he couldn't make out their faces.
Where's Chase Landon?
Not far. We'd rather you left those guns here.
The guns go or we don't.
And give us your word you won't do anything against Chase till he's had a chance to talk with you.
That's fair enough. Lead out.
They rode about an hour. Andy realized the two men led them in a zigzag pattern to confuse them should they try to retrace their path in the daylight. But he had a good sense of direction. He knew they traveled generally northwestward. A dark farmhouse loomed ahead. Walter glanced at Rusty and Andy.
Don't neither of you make any suspicious moves. Jace is mighty edgy.
Andy didn't doubt that Jace had a rifle or six-shooter trained on them. It didn't seem probable that he would have summoned Andy and Rusty out here only to kill them. Nevertheless, Andy felt cold. He saw a movement on the dark porch.
Get down and tie your horses, Rangers. We'll parlay out here. The house is hot and dark, and I don't favor lighting no lamp. You sure none of them hoppers followed you, Walter?
We were careful, Jace.
Hey, Andy, how's your head? Too bad I had a clubby that time, but I needed to try and get away.
Oh, swelling's long gone.
Where's that ranger that gave me a beating for it?
Farley Brackett is laid up. Took a bullet trying to keep a mob from breaking into jail and killing you. We didn't know you'd already lit a shuck.
Jace showed no sign that he felt any guilt or any sympathy for Farley. He turned to Rusty.
Don't believe I know you. You are a ranger, ain't you?
Named Shannon. I've been a ranger off and on since before the war. The other war.
Damn poor way to make a living. But I guess everybody's gotta be something.
What do you consider yourself to be?
Landon first, then a Texan. I shot Yankees during the war, but I was fighting hoppers when I was a kid.
The last killing you did wasn't any fair fight.
We didn't always fight the Yankees fair either. Main thing was to win. Polite gentlemen generally die first.
We didn't come here to talk about who's to blame. We're supposed to talk about you trading places with your wife in jail.
I heard about Biggin and her. I've got to get her out of there, Andy. Whatever it costs.
Giving yourself up is an awful price to pay, even for Flora. You know how long you'll last in that jail. And even if you live to the trial, Judge Hopper would see you hang before the sun went down.
Walter, I just don't see it any other way.
There might be one. What do y'all think of Sheriff Truscott?
He's a Hopper in-law. But he's a cut above the others. He's about as fair as you'll find amongst that tribe.
That's the impression I got. On the way out here, I've been thinking about a deal we might put to him. We'll turn you into the law, but in another county.
This county or some other, it ain't apt to make a lot of difference in the long run.
If we can get you a change of venue, you'll at least have a fair trial in some court besides Judge Hopper's.
A change of venue won't save my neck. Ned Hopper was a son of a bitch, and I kill him. I ain't denying it. I'd holler from the roof of the courthouse. You got a place in mind?
Sheriff Tom Blessing is a good friend of mine. Whatever the outcome, he'll see to it that you're dealt a square hand.
Jace stared into the darkness while he considered the proposition.
At least it'd be somebody besides a hopper who put the rope around my neck. Go talk to Oscar Truscott. If he says yes, I'll surrender. Not to anybody else, just to you Rangers.
The next day, Rusty and Andy went to the jail and told Truscott they needed to talk to him in private. The sheriff eyed Rusty.
I heard by the grapevine that you all went out of town last night.
You must have eyes everywhere.
I don't miss a lot.
We had an interesting visit with an acquaintance of yours.
Jace Landon? You didn't bring him in, though.
No, but we worked out a deal for you. You let Flora out of here, and he'll surrender to us to be taken to a different jurisdiction for a trial change of venue. I was thinking my hometown with Sheriff Tom Blessing.
Yeah, I know Tom. If he said it was fixing to freeze on the 4th of July, I'd carry my coat with me to the celebration.
He'd take good care of your prisoner.
I'm just wondering who'd take care of me. Things would get ugly around here when Judge Hopper and Biggin and the rest got wind of what I done.
If we handle it right, it'll be over with before they know.
But I'd still be here afterwards. I'd probably lose me a wife. She's took to sleeping in another room anyhow. and her cooking wouldn't tempt a hog. I'd love to see what it feels like to look the judge in the eye and tell him I'm through shining his boots. And I've waited for a long time to poke Biggin in the eye with a sharp stick.
When are you going to release Jace's wife?
Right now, into your custody. She's been an albatross around my neck.
Truscott reached into a drawer and withdrew a printed form. He dipped a pen into an inkwell and scribbled some lines.
Bring this back to me with Tom Blessing's signature on it, swearing that he's got Jace Landon locked up.
When it's all over, you can catch up on your sleep.
Not after the word gets out.
Truscott led Rusty and Andy back to the cells. Flora remained hidden by the blanket that covered the front of her cell.
Gather your things, Flora. You're leaving.
What have you done to Jace?
Ain't even seen him, but he's agreed to give himself up to these rangers if I let you go.
She pulled the blanket aside, her eyes fearful.
You know he's got no chance if he comes back in here. I ain't letting you trade me for him.
I know, Flora. These gents are taking him to another county. Change of venue.
I'd rather see him run off to Mexico or someplace.
He wouldn't do that, not leave you in here. He's that much of a man, at least.
He's a better man than any I see here.
You better get while the getting's good, Flora.
I'll go, but if I get a chance to help Jace get away, I'll damn sure take it.
I don't doubt that.
He unlocked the door. Flora came out carrying a small canvas bag. Her hair was disheveled, her dress wrinkled from sleeping in it.
I'll leave the blanket up. Likely nobody'll miss you before morning. Y'all better go out the back door.
He opened the door cautiously and peered outside.
Looks clear.
Oscar, for a Hopper in-law, you're a better man than I thought.
You rangers better keep a close eye on her. She meant what she said about helping Jace get away.
You've got to respect a loyal wife.
Jace never deserved her. I can't see why she chose him over his brother Dick.
There's no figuring women.
Andy had not expected Truscott to release Flora so quickly, so they'd not brought an extra horse for her. Andy put her up into his saddle.
Rusty, I'll go back to the stable and get Farley's horse. He won't be needing it for a while.
While you do that, I'll get her out of town to where Walter Landon said he'd be waiting.
I'll find you.
In the stable, Farley arose stiffly and sat on the edge of his cot. He watched while Andy saddled up.
You stealing another horse from me, Badger boy?
Call him the law if you want to.
Nah, I can guess why you need him. Tell her not to use spurs. She's liable to throw her off.
At the edge of town, Andy put Farley's horse into an easy lope. He caught up to Rusty and Flora before they reached the farmhouse where Jace was supposed to be hiding. Rusty looked concerned.
Anybody see you?
Just Farley and the stable hand. They won't be talking.
This place where you're taking Jace. You sure it's safe? Them hoppers have got a long reach.
If you're looking for an ironclad guarantee, there ain't any. But it'll be safer than that jail back yonder. There's not a better sheriff in Texas than Tom Blessing.
From what I've seen of sheriffs, that ain't a strong recommendation.
You've got to realize that saving him from a lynching doesn't change things for him in the long run. He hasn't got much of a future either way.
Maybe. We'll see about that the first time somebody gets careless.
Walter and a couple of other men stepped down from the porch to meet them in the yard. The house was dark, but Andy could see a rifle in Walter's hands.
That you, Flora?
It's me. Where's Jace at?
The figure stepped out from a black corner of the porch.
Right here, darling girl. Come see Papa.
Flora did not wait to be helped down from the horse. She slid out of the saddle and hurried to the porch as Jace stepped to the ground. They embraced, then Jace pushed her off to arm's length to look her over.
Are you all right?
Why wouldn't I be all right?
I heard about Biggin. I wanted to kill him.
Oh, him being bigger just makes it easier to hit him where it hurts the worst. I laid it on him good.
Andy grinned, remembering the bruises and cuts on Biggin's face. He was probably bruised in other places where it didn't show. Rusty shifted impatiently in his saddle.
We better be moving. No telling how soon before the hoppers find out she's gone.
I can't figure Oscar Truscott letting you go so easy.
He trusted the Rangers. Bad as I hate to say it, you and me have got to do the same.
You'll let her ride along with us, won't you?
It won't be safe for her here, at least till things cool off. Tom Blessing will see to it that nothing happens to her.
Walter, I wish you'd let my daddy know that I've gone with Jace.
I'll see to it. We've got him hid. Biggin and his bunch might want to take it out on him when they see that they lost you and Jace both.
Andy saw no sign that anyone was following them as he and Rusty rode away with Jace and Flora. But he slipped his pistol out of its holster and held it for the first couple of miles, just in case. Tom looked up in surprise as Andy and Rusty ushered the Landons into his office. His expression showed that he recognized Jace on sight. Blessing studied Jace with misgivings before looking back at Rusty.
Brought you an early Christmas present. I know you didn't ask for it, but there it is.
You sure ain't Santa Claus. What do you want me to do with him?
Keep him away from the Hoppers till he can stand trial. And we'll need to get him a change of venue out of old Judge Hopper's jurisdiction.
I guess I can take care of the first part. You'll need to talk to a lawyer about the other. Who's the lady?
This is Jace's wife. We need a safe place for her, too.
The jail ain't really fixed up for a woman. Any charges against her?
Not unless she tries to help Jace get away. Again.
She'd be good company for my wife out at the farm.
I want to stay in town where I can be close to Jace.
You can put up at Mrs. Smith's boarding house. But if the Hoppers was to come a-looking, it wouldn't be hard for them to find you there.
It'll be their own fault if they do. They don't know how good a shot I am.
I'll need help guarding Jace. Can't be here 24 hours myself, and I've only got one deputy. If the Hoppers was to come down on us in force, one man couldn't stop them.
Me and Andy. He's more our prisoner than he is yours anyway. I'll wire the captain for permission.
I'm obliged. District judge is due to hold court here next week. I'd like to get Jace on the docket quick as I can. The sooner he's out of this jail, the better I'll feel.
If y'all would turn your backs for a minute or two, you wouldn't have to worry about guarding Jace. Him and me would be on our way to Mexico.
I halfway wish we could, but that'd break our agreement with Sheriff Truscott.
And our oath as rangers.
Don't worry about it, darling girl. I ain't been hung yet. A lot can happen.
Don't be getting notions. It's been a long time since I shot a prisoner trying to escape. I didn't sleep for a week afterwards, but I done what I had to do. I'd do it again.
I sure wouldn't want to cost you any sleep. Flora, honey, us Landons have died of everything else, but there ain't none of us ever been hung. If things go my way, I'll send for you from Mexico. Or maybe South America. I hear it's mighty pretty down there. They pull fruit right off of trees, and nobody has to work if they don't want to.
Tom got his keys and motioned toward the back room where the cells were.
Like I said, Rusty, you sure ain't no Santa Claus.
Sheriff Truscott glanced up from a paper he had just signed as Biggin Hopper entered the office. The sun was already 2 hours high. In the past, Biggin's perpetual tardiness had irritated Truscott, but this morning it was welcome. He would have been even happier if Biggin hadn't shown up at all. The two men tolerated each other only because Judge Hopper forced them to.
That all you got to do, sit there writing letters?
Writing reports is part of the job. Austin always wants to know what's going on here.
Yeah, when I get to be sheriff, I'll tell Austin to go to hell.
What makes you think you'll ever be sheriff?
Biggin sneered and headed toward the cells and back.
I told you to stay away from Flora unless I'm with you.
Afraid I'm gonna give her what she's been needing? Huh? If I get a notion to do that, it'll take more than you to stop me. Hell, I got that notion right now.
He resumed his march toward the cells. Truscott reached into a drawer and withdrew a set of brass knuckles he'd taken from a Dallas footpad who'd not been half so tough as he thought he was. Biggin came stomping back, face splotched with anger.
What? What you done with her? Where's she at?
I ain't got the faintest notion. I traded her for Jace like I said I would.
You're lying! Jace ain't there neither!
I turned him back over to the Rangers. They've taken him out of the county to get a change of venue.
Uncle Judd would not give you permission to do that.
I know he wouldn't, so I didn't ask him.
Biggin made two long, angry steps toward the sheriff's desk. Truscott raised his hands defensively, showing the brass knuckles. Biggin saw them and stopped, but his face kept getting redder.
Careful. You're fixing to bust a blood vessel. It seems to be a Hopper family trait.
You had no right!
I'm the sheriff.
You won't be sheriff long, not when I tell Uncle Judd about this!
I'm sheriff till the next election. After that, you and the judge can go to hell for all I care. The Hoppers and the Landons and the whole damn county, too.
You may not live till the next election.
He stamped out the door. It wouldn't be long before Judd Hopper came boiling into the office just as Biggin had. Truscott found it odd that he felt relief rather than dread. In the past, he'd never been able to face down the judge. The man's overpowering presence had always cowed him. But now that the fat was in the fire, he almost looked forward to the confrontation. This time he had nothing to lose. He had already resolved to give up his office when his term was finished. The judge could do nothing to hurt him. As he expected, Judd Hopper flung the door open and strode in, Biggin just behind him.
Is it true what my nephew's been telling me?
Biggin has got a reputation for abusing the truth, but in this case, I expect he told you the straight of it. I'll let the Rangers have Jace.
The judge placed his palms flat on the desktop and leaned across toward Truscott. His breath was hot on the sheriff's face and reeked of chewing tobacco.
You know I wanted to try him in my own court.
I doubt that it'll make much difference where he's tried. He's guilty. He'll be sentenced to hang.
But his crime was committed here.
Against your kin. Any normal judge would recuse himself from the case if it involved his own family.
I wanted to personally have the pleasure of telling him he was fixing to hang by the neck until dead.
Biggin and his cronies would see to it that he was shot or hung before he ever got to trial. They tried it the last time, only the bird had already flown.
The judge's face was crimson and veins stood out on his temples.
You're through in this county, Oscar. I'll see to it.
Ain't much you can do till election. After that, you can have the whole shebang.
The judge gave Truscott a look that would wilt cactus, then spun on his heel, starting toward the door.
Ain't you gonna do something, Uncle Judd?
His uncle gave him no answer. Biggin followed him outside.
Looks to me like there ought to be something you can do.
You want me to shoot him?
Well, that ain't a bad idea. I got a half a mind to do it myself.
If you do, you've got no mind at all. No Hopper can afford to shoot him. The state would have a dozen rangers down here before you could spit.
What if somebody else done it? Somebody who has nothing to do with any of us Hoppers.
What do you mean, somebody else?
There was a man who...
Wait, don't tell me. I've got to stay clean. I don't want to know anything about it.
All right. I'll wait a day or two till Oscar figures he's got us up a stump. Then don't be surprised at anything that happens.
The judge stared at him, torn between doubt and hope.
Nephew, you're not the brightest lamp in the window, but occasionally, you think with your head instead of your fists. I hope this is one of those times.
It is. You'll see.
2 days later, Biggin made a show of rifling through the recent fugitive notices in the sheriff's office. He and Truscott had barely spoken since the confrontation with Judge Hopper. Now Truscott glanced up irritably from a report he was writing.
What are you looking for?
Telegram that came in here a while back. Described a man who robbed a bank out west.
You think you got a line on him?
Yeah, maybe. Feller told me about somebody he seen at the old Yancey farmhouse. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Sure enough, sounds like the man, all right.
His interest piqued. Truscott took the telegram from Biggin's hand.
You certain this is him?
I can't be certain of nothing, but the description fits. Telegram mentions a reward. Thought I'd ride out and at least take a look. I could use the money.
If this is the right man, you'd probably get your head shot off. I'd best go with you.
I can handle it.
Don't worry about the reward. It's all yours. But if this is the real bank robber, it's liable to take two of us to bring him in.
Well, suit yourself.
I'll saddle up and meet you here in 10 minutes. This report can wait till I get back.
Biggin smiled grimly as the sheriff walked outside.
Hell, Oscar. You ain't coming back.
Scooter Tennyson sat in a rickety chair, leaned back against the barn door, dozing in the warmth of the early fall sun. He dreamed he was fishing in the San Saba River, and Bo brought an axe from behind the kitchen tent, telling him to cut more wood. He awakened with a start, remembering that he was supposed to keep watch while his father slept inside. Blinking the sleep from his eyes, he saw two horsemen approaching. He froze in panic for a moment, then rushed into the barn.
Pa, wake up! Somebody's coming!
Lige Tennyson was quickly on his feet, grabbing for his pistol. He hurried to the barn door.
They're almost on us. You were supposed to keep watch.
Sorry, Pa.
Sorry, don't fix it. Wait. One of them is that deputy I told you about, Biggin Hopper. Reckon he's come to give me a job like he promised. But I didn't figure on him bringing anybody else. You stay back out of sight just in case.
All right, Pa.
Lige walked out into the open. He kept the pistol in his hand, but lowered it so it wouldn't appear to offer a threat. Biggin eyed the pistol with suspicion, but smiled jovial enough.
Howdy.
How do yourself?
You go by the name of Tennyson?
Sometimes. Depends on where I'm at and who I'm talking to.
And who am I talking to?
So quickly that Lige missed the move, Oscar Truscott drew a pistol and pointed it at Lige's belly.
I am the sheriff of this county. I am placing you under arrest for bank robbery and attempted murder. Drop that pistol.
Lige let the weapon fall to his feet. Confused, he looked at Biggin.
What kind of trick is this?
Not quite the kind it looks like.
Biggin drew his own pistol. Lige saw murder in the man's eyes and braced himself for a bullet. Instead of aiming at Lige, Biggin pointed the pistol toward Truscott. The sheriff blinked in confusion.
Looks like election is coming sooner than you thought, Oscar.
Truscott hit the ground and looked up in mortal pain.
Oh, for God's sake, Biggin!
God ain't watching, Oscar.
Biggin leaned from the saddle and aimed again. Observing from the barn, Scooter froze in shock.
God almighty, what'd you do that for?
County's fixing to get a new sheriff. A bank-robbing fugitive just killed this one.
Me? I ain't fired a shot.
Nobody's gonna believe that. He came to arrest you, and you shot him.
You bottom-tailed son of a bitch!
I found out a long time ago that you do what you have to if you want to win.
He raised the pistol to fire. Scooter hurled a rock almost the size of his fist. It struck Biggin's horse on the chest. The animal reared and whirled away. Biggin involuntarily squeezed the trigger. The bullet smacked against the side of the barn. Lige scooped up his own pistol and fired as Biggin struggled to regain control of his mount. Biggin got off one more shot, then spurred hard to move out of range. Lige steadied his pistol and fired once more. He thought he might have grazed Biggin, but he wasn't certain. Scooter stepped hesitantly toward the fallen sheriff. He wanted to throw up. The man's eyes were open.
I think he's alive, Pa. He's looking at me.
No, son. He's halfway to either heaven or hell.
Lige bent to close the lawman's eyes.
Like as not, he was a good sheriff. But he sure picked a coyote for a deputy.
What do we do now, Pa?
Only one thing to do. We'll run like a rabbit.
Where to?
There ain't nothing but Texas all around us. As soon as that deputy gets to town and tells his story, every badge toter in the state will be hunting for us. They'll shoot us down like hydrophobic dogs. They won't stop to ask your age.
Scooter's alarm intensified. He remembered seeing his father cry only once when Scooter's mother had died.
God, I done you a bad wrong, son, bringing you into this kind of a mess. Best thing I can do now is to send you back to your ranger friends where I found you.
I don't know if I could find my way. I'm staying with you, Pa.
When bullets get to flying, they don't care who they hit. Man and boy, a bullet can't tell the difference.
How far do you reckon it is up to the Cherokee country?
A long ways. There's probably 50 sheriffs between here and the Red River. I don't even count rangers and town constables.
We can travel in the dark of night and hide during the daytime.
That's the only thing to do. We better saddle up and get gone before that four-flusher comes back with a posse fired up to kill us both.
From the corner of his eye, Scooter sensed a movement.
Look out, Pa! He's coming back!
A bullet thumped against the barn. Biggin had reversed direction and spurred toward them, firing as he came. Lige leveled his pistol.
Down, boy! Flat on the ground!
He took two shots at the deputy. Dropping to his knees, Scooter felt something strike his hip. It burned like a hot poker. One of Lige's bullets grazed Biggin's horse. The animal started to buck in panic. Biggin grabbed the saddle horn and held on with both hands. He dropped the pistol. The bridle reins went flopping. Lige tried to get him in his sights, but the horse's frenzied bucking made it impossible. Biggin managed to get hold of the reins and bring his mount under a measure of control. He turned toward town. The animal alternated between running and pitching. Lige took one more shot, but it was an empty gesture.
Get up, son. We gotta go.
Something's wrong, Pa. I can't get up.
Lige dropped to one knee, eyes fearful.
Oh, my God. He hit you.
Scooter looked down at his hip. He saw the blood and felt nausea wash over him. Though Lige was skinny as a log rail, he picked up his son and carried him to the old house's back porch as though he weighed nothing at all.
Slip them britches down, son. Let me take a look.
Scooter's hands were trembling. He could barely manipulate his belt buckle.
Does it hurt bad?
It's starting to. Mostly it burns.
Lige felt around the wound, then wiped his bloody fingers on the leg of his trousers.
Looks like the bullet went plumb through.
Might have nicked the bone, though. I need to take you to a doctor.
You can't go to town. Folks here will kill you in a minute.
At least I gotta stop the bleeding. Then we have to make a lot of tracks. You think you can ride?
I don't know. Maybe you ought to leave me here.
And have that deputy kill you to shut your mouth? That's the reason he turned around and came back, hoping to finish us both off, so we couldn't tell what we've seen here.
Would anybody believe us?
Oh, not likely, but he can't take the chance. He's gotta kill us. Somewhere we'll find somebody who can help you. Till then, you gotta hang on, boy.